time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome back to the show. Today's Tuesday, November 19th, and we're back, Mia.
Well, I've always been here. You're the one that's back. You're the one that left. How was your trip?
Excuse me. Oh. How do we start the show with a cough? I guess I forgot to clear my throat.
It's all right.
Yeah, so we weren't here yesterday because I took a trip over the weekend, and I went up north. This is like about an hour and a half north of Sacramento. It's a place called Paradise, California.
It's actually called Paradise?
It's called Paradise.
Oh, okay.
A little town of 26,000 people. It seems like only 600 people, but
wow.
It's pretty small. And but my friends are running a radio station from there, you know.
Oh,
so
okay.
They live on like 2 acres, you know, of land with a house that looks like a big cabin. And, you
wow.
know, it's amazing.
Cute.
You know? And deer... running around all the time, you know. They're
yeah.
just so cute, man. And
and chickens. So was, I saw your
you
photos
saw the picture
with
the chickens.
Chickens.
Yeah, they get chickens.
I was like, oh my, he's really in the middle of nowhere.
I'm telling you, they bought some chickens there, so it was funny. Last time I was there, they didn't have it. But this time I came and I'm hearing all these chickens. I'm like, what's going on?
Oh, my gosh.
So that was a story in itself, you know, with the chickens, because it's I like watching animals and how they behave and stuff. Sometimes I'll even watch ants, you know, and
okay.
like in big groups and stuff and see how they behave and stuff. It's really interesting. So... So all there's right. one main rooster in the group, and the rest are females, and you know he's just walking around, you know, with his nose up in the air and everything.
Like a total cock.
Like a total cock, and he is. He's a cocksman, and so it's funny because then I guess what happened is a new cock appeared.
Uh oh.
And they're not even sure who it belongs to or anything, but it appears in their yard, and
well, maybe
so
just
he's
wants
starting
to make
to
friends.
Join. Well, so he's starting to join the group. He's trying to join the group.
Uh huh.
Apparently, they're saying it's been a while, and still they haven't let him into the group.
Wow.
The main rooster just goes and fights him.
Oh,
yesterday,
for sure.
Yesterday, I saw it actually happen. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, the outsider was chasing a little female, you know, and...
just like humans.
I'm telling you.
Just like us.
Isn't it amazing, though? You know,
oh,
and
my God.
And you think animals work on instinct and everything that they don't think, but I don't know. It seems like it requires some thought, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that just sounds like such a, like, typical human scenario, you
it
know?
Is.
You got the... main cock and all his little females, and you know, he rules the roost. And then
exactly.
if somebody else comes in the picture, it's like there's a fight, you
exactly,
know? You're,
yeah.
You're not going to chase after one of my females. Get up.
Exactly. I've got a whole harem here. You're not joining this party.
These mahos.
So that
get
was
off my
funny.
Turf.
You know,
oh my
and
gosh.
Then I'm standing there, and you know, so we were standing talking at another time, and the chickens like to peck at you, you know, so. So I'm standing with him. I'm holding my cigarette in my hand, and suddenly it's like being pulled off of my hand. And the chicken picked at it,
no.
bit, and the friggin' burning ash, and started like, oh man, I think she was crying or something. I think it burned her her tongue or something.
Oh, well, yeah, probably.
Yeah, but it's not my fault. She's fucking trying to eat a cigarette. I mean, well, what the hell is that about, you know?
Oh,
but animals
gosh.
Are crazy, man.
Wow.
And you know what? It's amazing when...
Just like out here, man, some females will do anything for a drag.
That's true. They would, huh?
Oh, man.
That's a good analogy. There you go.
Actually, that's more of like, there's really not actually that many smokers out here. I feel like that's more of like a Midwest thing or like an East Coast kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, California is totally not into it at all. You know, it's so hard to smoke anywhere here.
Yeah. Yeah, so far for the most part, anytime I've seen like anybody, you know, smoking, they've been like, I don't know, like foreign or something,
right.
Or like visiting, or like they're not, you know, exactly. They don't live in California.
Yeah,
like,
countries
that
are not as advanced.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm
visiting
from here, or
stuff,
oh, I'm from here, like it's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
but
for
a lot
me,
in Europe and Asia, they smoke a lot, yeah.
Do
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they yeah that's what,
it's
yeah,
still
that's
there.
What I figured.
It's just that, you know, the U.S. has had this health kick for many years.
Yeah.
And we've become pariahs now, you know. But what can I tell you? I actually enjoy it. It's not a, you know, it's not like I feel, oh, I wish I could quit. I don't want to quit. I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. If you don't, you know, if that's your thing, then,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
that's your thing. But, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But
you know,
very,
I don't tell anybody they should or have to or anything like that. And I never smoke when I'm near people. I walk to an open area and stuff, so... You know, yeah, so I'm a considerate smoker. There you go.
There you go.
So in a couple of minutes, we actually have two guests today.
Yeah.
One, I hope they don't call at the same time because I think they confirmed with the wrong time and I didn't correct them.
Uh-oh.
So, but I just sent her an email, so hopefully she'll call at the right time. But we actually have an author who wrote the book called The Beetle Who Vanished. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't even know this, but the Beatles had a different drummer other than Ringo for a little while.
Mm.
And so this is a story about him. And do you like the Beatles at all?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I grew up with the Beatles.
Really?
Obviously, you know, my parents were huge fans.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just, oh, my gosh. Especially, like, as a little kid. Like, I loved the Beatles.
Yeah.
And then I saw Paul McCartney in concert.
Right.
And that was, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, they had such, like, funny little films. You know, of course, this was, like, VHS tape status.
Right. Right.
But they had one of the movies was called Help, you know, like, the song. And then the other one was Hard Day's Night.
Right.
And... I'd really love to go back and watch them again now that I'm an adult. I mean, to me, they were just... I just like listening to the songs, and I would just laugh because it was just so funny and out there, like the stories and, you know, what they would be doing. It was just, you know, to me, it was, like, hilarious. But, yeah, I'd like to, like, rewatch those somehow. I don't know how because I don't have a VHS player. But, oh, my gosh.
No, just get it from Netflix or something.
The Beatles. I'm sure they have it. I still do love the Beatles.
Yeah. They're good. I mean, they're timeless, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew all their songs as a little kid.
Did you really?
Oh, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're
iconic.
Good.
Iconic.
So, yeah. So, that's the first guest. And the second one's going to be regarding an app. You know, the other day we had a couple guys with an interesting app.
Oh, the Camfine?
Yeah. And you know what? So far, they have to really tweak it a little bit because I was like taking pictures and it wasn't getting the right thing at all. You know, it's a
really. I haven't had a problem with that.
It's a search app that searches based on pictures that you take with your camera.
Yeah.
And
what were you taking pictures of? Actually, never mind. Don't answer that.
You want to hear something funny? Actually. I took a picture. I was reading a magazine. I get a periodical that's like the adult industry magazine, about the retail and things like that. So there's always advertisement for vibrators and all kinds of toys and stuff. So that's when I decided I'm going to take a picture of a vibrator, right? Now, you have to understand, many vibrators today are not even shaped like vibrators anymore. I don't know if you've seen them. They have like totally like... off-the-wall shapes and things like that.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. On a side note, well, okay, never mind. I'll tell this story when you're done telling the story.
Okay.
It just made me think of something. Go ahead.
Okay. So I took a picture of it, and what the app thing... So the app brings up, like, fine art, right? Or modern artists. I think well, modern art is something.
Well, I mean, if that's what it looks like.
I know, but I figured maybe it was a picture or something. But yeah, but in that shape.
I mean, maybe they just haven't conquered the whole like X-rated photo gallery yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll get to that eventually.
That's true, huh?
But of course, yeah. Sam's mind, you know, that always comes first. So.
Well. That's true. Well, that's the picture I had in front of me, so I tried it. So mm-hmm. It gives me modern art. So that was funny, yeah.
Okay. Can I tell my story now?
I wanted to say that this app they're calling about is like a photo editing app that's pretty unique, so we'll find out what that's about. So go ahead and tell me in a couple minutes before they start calling.
Yeah. Okay, so I went to I had another masquerade party.
Okay, you're going to have to hold that thought because they're calling.
Are they calling? Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Okay. Let's take it.
Good morning. You're on the air. Are you a guest?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Jim Birkenstadt.
Yes, Jim, good morning. Thank you for calling us this morning.
Yes, thank you.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Madison, Wisconsin. That was not too far from Chicago, right?
Right.
Mia's from Chicago, yeah. How's the weather? Is it already freezing there?
No, it's, let's see, it's about 35 degrees today. It's not too bad.
I guess not. You know, it's all relative, man.
It sounds like freezing to me.
If we had 35
for
here,
LA, it's freezing.
We'd be complaining.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So, Jim, let me introduce. I was talking about you a few minutes ago, and you wrote a book called The Beetle Who Vanished about Jimmy Nichol. And now he's a former. Now tell us how he was involved with the Beatles, because I had never heard of the name, and I knew there was another drummer, but I didn't know who it was or what the story was.
Yeah, well, many people have heard of Pete Best, who was the drummer with the Beatles before Ringo Starr.
Right.
But not many people have ever heard of Jimmy Nichol because when this event took place. Back in those days, we didn't have satellite television or news. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have texting, Facebook. You know, basically, people got their news around the world about a week or so after it happened. And over here in America, we received news of what was going on in England only in a brief snippet that might be on, say, a newsreel that was played before a movie in the theater.
Right.
So if we didn't go to a movie that week, we had no idea what was going on in Europe. This is why most Americans have never heard of Jimmy Nichol, but on the eve of the Beatles' first ever world tour, which was began in early June 1964, Ringo Starr fainted the day before their first ever world tour was to begin, and
a day before.
To go into the hospital for 2 weeks. And at that time, you couldn't just cancel a tour because of an illness. All the contracts were signed, all the tickets were sold in all the different cities around the world, all the programs were printed, security was already in place. Product was in the stores, including new Beatles songs coming out in those cities, timed with the various appearances of the Beatles in those cities. Uh-huh. And it had been planned for 6 months by the Beatles manager, Brian Epstein, like a military campaign, so that everything would go just right.
Oh.
And there was no backing out. So with one afternoon to go, the Beatles had to find a new drummer. And George Harrison, lead guitarist, was dead set against this.
Really?
And so a lot of internal drama erupted as they all argued over whether or not to cancel the tour. Finally, George was persuaded by John, Paul, and Brian Epstein that they had to do this or it could really destroy the momentum that they had built up.
That's true.
And not to speak of lawsuits and losses in the hundreds of thousands of dollars back then for not showing up for shows.
Yeah, for sure. Now, so how long after they had started becoming famous was this concert tour about to begin? How long had they been together, let's say, before this happened?
Well, the Beatles, first started out as the Quarrymen, but then by about 60, they had gelled into a fivesome, which was John Lennon, George Harrison, Paul McCartney, Peter Best on drums, and Stuart Sutcliffe on bass.
Oh, wow.
Stuart later left the band, and Paul ultimately took over on bass, and they became a foursome. And then in August of 62... they fired Pete Best and brought in Ringo Starr to be their permanent drummer. So really, after that point in time, and with the help of a new manager, Brian Epstein, they really started to climb the ladder slowly but surely. And 63 was a very big year for the Beatles in England. And then they really broke out worldwide in 64. They went to Paris, and then they went to New York, where they were on the Ed Sullivan Show, which was the largest TV audience ever to watch anything on TV in the United States at that time. Right. They saw the Beatles there. Mm-hmm. So that started to break them out. Then they made the movie A Hard Day's Night, but it had not come out yet. And then it was time to start this world tour. So, like I said, they only had an afternoon to find a drummer, and they sent their assistants, Neil Aspinall and Mal Evans, out into the Soho music clubs to try and find a replacement for Ringo.
Wow. That's quite a story, you know. I mean, in one afternoon.
Yeah.
You know?
It's quite dramatic if you think, you know, how much was on the line in terms of money and fame and what might have happened if they hadn't found him. And the miraculous thing was that in my research, I found that Jimmy Nicol already knew Ringo Starr's drum parts to the songs they were playing, because he had been in a cover band playing those songs in a studio where they would create these singles, 45s, and put them out and try to fool the kids into buying Beatles songs, but they were by a cover band. So he learned all of Ringo's drum parts. So what are the chances of the stars lining up so that on this particular day they locate the one guy in London who's a brilliant drummer and also knows Ringo's parts? So
oh, wow.
Don't worry about learning.
Wow, that's insane.
I know, because I'm thinking about this.
Crazy.
It's like, how do you like possibly teach them all the songs in one afternoon, one evening? You
right.
Know?
It would have been impossible. And what they did was they ran through the songs, and when they were done, John Lennon was just shocked, and he said, "That's it, you're in, Jimmy."
Wow, amazing.
This was at Abbey Road Studios, and I was able to locate someone who was inside the studio for this private rehearsal tryout with Jimmy, and so it was very interesting. You know, I let the reader kind of go into the studio with the people who were there.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah. Now, how did you become interested in Jimmy Nicol? I mean, what was the... had you been like a big Beatles fan before that?
Yeah, I've been a Beatles historian for a long time now, for decades. In fact, I have served as a historical consultant to the Beatles company Apple Corps on various projects.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the most recent thing I did was for George Harrison. I was the historical consultant on the Martin Scorsese HBO film, George Harrison, Living in the Material World.
Nice.
So I've been doing this sort of thing for a long time, and I just decided, you know, this guy has an interesting story. I always wondered, how did he become the one they picked? Why was he chosen? What had he done before that to become a good enough drummer to be asked? Then I wanted to know, what was it like in the eye of the hurricane that we know as Beatlemania? What was it like going from the limousine to the airport, to the plane, to the hotel, to the rehearsal space, to the crazy concerts, to the huge parades that he went through in Adelaide, where 300,000 fans came out to surround him? That's like three football stadiums in America.
Wow.
Filled. All came out to see the Beatles, and he was in the middle of that. What was it like for an everyday guy to live through that? And then finally, the last third of the book deals with, well, how did he live with that fame, that after he had those 15 minutes of fame, what was it like? And how did he deal with that? Because you go from being an everyday person to suddenly being a god to the kids, and then now you're back to being an everyday person.
Yeah, I know. That must, like, I mean, it's like the ultimate, like, climax and anticlimax.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, because it's not like something that you plan, you know. They sort of discovered him. He's like, wow, where did this come from, you know?
Right.
And then suddenly he just disappears. So tell me, how long did he play with them?
He played with the Beatles for 13 days.
13 days?
And they played some TV shows. They did some radio. They did interviews, and then they did several concerts, and they went to the Netherlands. Then they went to Hong Kong. They played there, and then they went to Australia, and they were in Sydney, Adelaide, and Melbourne until Ringo rejoined them in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because in my book, there's over 120 photos that really let you sort of see for yourself what his life was like. And one of the photos I really enjoy is all five Beatles on the balcony, Ringo and Jimmy Nicol, along with John, Paul, and George. And they're looking down on another 300,000 fans that surrounded them in Melbourne around their hotel. And they were basically prisoners in that hotel.
Wow.
And it's amazing to see, you know, all of them waving and trying to talk to the fans, but, you know, there's too much screaming going on. And there's a great story in the book. I found a gal in Melbourne when I was there doing research for the book. And I said, so were you there that day? And she goes, yeah, I was, but I got in a lot of trouble. So I asked, well, what happened? She said, well, I went to a very strict Catholic school. And I called in to the nun who was in charge of the school and pretended to be my mother and said that I was sick. She said, then I went out to that crowd, and I was in the middle of that huge crowd of hundreds of thousands of kids. We were looking up at the Beatles on the balcony, waving down to us. And she said, the one thing I didn't account for was I was the only one in the crowd with blonde hair. Everybody else had brown or black hair. And I actually had seen this footage when I did research on the book, and there's a camera up by the Beatles, and you can see this camera shot. It pans from the five Beatles waving down to the crowd, finds a blonde, and zooms in on this young blonde girl in the crowd of 300,000.
That's crazy.
And so guess who was watching the news that night in Melbourne? Unfortunately, it was the nuns at her school. And the next day, she had to be called up on stage in front of, they had a whole auditorium, brought everyone in for the auditorium thing, and they, you know, chastised her in front of the whole school for lying and for betraying God and for praying to false idols.
Yeah. God forbid you listen to rock and roll, you know.
Yeah, that's bad stuff. It's very interesting when you talk to people who lived through it, you know, and that's what I tried to do in every aspect of Jimmy's life, was to speak with family or friends or musicians who worked with him.
Amazing. Now, so Jim Birkenstadt, you're also known as the Rock and Roll Detective. And why don't you go ahead and give out the website so people can get the book, find out more about it.
If you're interested in the book, you can go to my author site, which is thebeatlewhovanished.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to Amazon.com, and there is both the paperback there and the e-book that can be downloaded onto any tablet, smartphone, or computer.
Yeah.
If they want an autographed copy, they should go to my site, TheBeatleWhoVanished.com.
Awesome. And I definitely recommend the printed version, because you do have the nice pictures and everything here that...
it's very cool.
Yeah, it would be nice to document and archive and
stuff. It's a lot of fun. It was a great time. Now I have to figure out another new mystery to unravel in rock and roll.
There you go. Well, Jim, thank you so much for calling in. And
thanks
for
having me on
book.
Your show, Sam.
Of course, absolutely. And we'll put a link to your website as well, so people can learn more about the book and about Jimmy Nicol.
That's great. I appreciate it.
Sure. So all the best to you, and thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's pretty fascinating.
Isn't it, though? You know, I mean, things. Just think about it, Mia. Just think if you're like, suddenly you're like, I don't know, at dinner or something or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, he was actually working. He was performing. Mm-hmm. But imagine just, you know, another night in your life, you know, another evening you're playing with whatever band you're on and stuff, and suddenly the Beatles come to you and they go, "Would you join us, please?" Wow.
Yeah,
and then, but then intense. You know it's limited, you know, so it's like you're thrust into complete stardom.
I know.
And but only for a limited time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, even because, like, you know, obviously social media wasn't really around back then, so right. It's like you literally have those 15 minutes and then that's it. You really have nothing else to, like, right. show for it. You know, we're here, like, these days, I could blast it all over Twitter and uh-huh. photos on Instagram and Facebook and be like, "Oh my gosh, look at this really cool opportunity." And then that will always stay with me. So yeah. It's like, "Oh yeah, that was the chick that did this for, like, a brief moment, but it was, like, a big deal, you
right.
know?"
Right, exactly.
And then people, you know, can remember you that way.
Yeah. That's true. So start your story again until the next guest call.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So I had another masquerade party.
Oh, you
weekend.
Did?
Yes. It was
wow.
on Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday night.
Yeah,
and
I would have been worried if there hadn't been any.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so actually at this point I'm thinking, how am I going to find a mask? Because, you know, like, it was easy before. It was kind of, you know, it was kind of before Halloween, so there's going to be stuff everywhere.
Oh.
And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And, you know, one of my girlfriends was like, "Oh, well, you know, there's either, you know, trashy lingerie or the pleasure chest."
Right.
I know that they for sure have, like, really nice masks.
Right.
And I'm thinking, "Oh God, here we go." And, you know, I mean, I've never been to trashy lingerie, but it's kind of more like, sound like La Cienega. Like, it's not close to the area.
Right.
And, you know, where the pleasure chest is actually, like, funny enough, it's, like, right down the street from me. Like, I never really, like, think about it, you know, because it's right there. But she said, I'm like, "Oh, wait, that'll be much more convenient because it's literally right there."
Right. And the pleasure chest is an adult store, for those who
so,
don't know.
Yes, yeah, it's a yeah. very, very adult store.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the pleasure chest. I mean, come
yeah.
on, you know.
They used to be the biggest and, game in town, but now you have the Hustler store on Sunset. I don't know if mm-hmm. you ever passed by it.
I was in
huge.
There to attempt to look for a costume last minute, like on Halloween. They
uh-huh.
have, like, nothing.
Really?
Like, everything was pretty much picked over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I stopped there for a quick minute. But, yeah, so the pleasure chest, you know, of course, we're there looking for masquerade masks. And
uh-huh.
there's just, like, so many interesting
wow.
devices and things in there. Well, first of all, what's funny is that, because, you know, my boyfriend and I, we both needed a mask, and we were meeting up with, you know, a friend of mine, you know, Joy, and she was like, "Yeah, let's go there." So we get there, we're, like, looking around, and we're like, "Okay." So we walk up, like, "Excuse me, where can we find some masks?" I mean, I guess he probably should have specified masquerade masks. And he goes, "Hey," you know, they figure a couple walks in and asks for masks.
Right.
And they show us to, like, this section behind the counter, and it's, like, all these crazy, like,
the leather stuff?
Like,
oh,
animal masks, and all these creepy stuff. And I'm like, "Ah,
all the S&M stuff. Wow."
I was like, "These are really scary." And then, you know, my friend walks in. She's like, "Oh, hey, hey." And then she's like, "Oh, not these kind of masks." She's like, "Excuse me, looking for masquerade masks. I know you have them here somewhere. I've, you know, been here before for a mask." She's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, they're all scattered, you know, all over the store. You just got to look
right.
for them. But there's a couple up there, some in the case down there, blah, blah, blah." We're like, "Oh,
right.
okay. Thank you. That's
And you're definitely not
better.
Looking at the vibrators
and,
or anything, right?
No,
Miss Wholesome.
We were so crunched on time. It was, like, scary. I'm like, "We need to get a mask." But I found a really cool one. It was all red.
Uh-huh.
And it was very, like, it was really, like, good quality and everything. Yeah. No, it was very fascinating. Like, I don't know. Like, they're, like, funny, like, dildos, and they were squishy, and I was, like, poking at it like a 5-year-old, like, "Ooh, what's this?"
That's a great topic to call. Our guest is just calling in, so let's take that. Good morning. All you're right. on the air. Is this our guest?
Good morning.
Good morning. Jen?
Yeah, this is Jen.
Yes, Jen Kim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I'm calling in from Berkeley, California, actually.
Oh, you're in Berkeley. Is that
mm-hmm.
so? You calling from a company called Jelly Bus? Is that where the
yeah.
company is located?
No, Jelly Bus is located in Korea, but I'm currently working remotely in the U.S.
Where is it? I'm sorry, where did you say it was?
In Seoul, Korea.
Oh, in Korea. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So they make a lot of good apps over there too, huh?
Yeah, of course. And Jelly Bus is unquestionably one of the best ones out there.
Right. So, well, tell us what the app is and why it's definitely the best one out there.
So we have actually several apps on the market right now. And the one of our representative ones are Pixpay Pro and
right.
Maldives, which hit the news pretty hard with the Washington Post featuring and the VentureBeat and all things like that. And we are specializing in photo apps, and we are known to be a lot of people call us the all-in-one photo editors, regardless of the specific functions that we're serving.
Right.
So this
works on smartphones, obviously. Now, so what are some of the things you can do with the app once you take the picture?
So we are focusing on the photo editing portion.
Okay.
So you have Photoshop on web, right? Or
right.
On PCs.
Right.
It's basically, so our Pixpay Pro app is basically your mobile Photoshop.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot simpler to use for any kind of users who might not be able to use the actual Photoshop on PC.
Right. And, wow, so, I mean, is this more like Photoshop than the Photoshop Express that Adobe has?
Right, it's very similar, but a lot of the responses that we've gotten from our users is that it's actually a lot simpler and easier to use.
Right.
Than the actual Photoshop Express on mobile.
Awesome, awesome. So, but this is obviously the competition, and there's a lot of photo editing apps out there. And
so
how do you stand out? Are you like the marketing person for the company?
Yes, I am. So I'm leading the business development effort, especially in the U.S. But I think one of the ways we would differentiate ourselves is mainly through our product.
Right.
So we actually have never spent a dollar on our marketing, and the achievement that we have right now is all based on like differentiation on products. And the way we develop our product is solely based on like intense interaction with our user base. A lot of people send in like comments or any kind of recommendations, and we really try to delve into what is it they're actually like really, really wanting.
Right.
So we try to focus a lot on like customer-centric approach of product development.
Sounds great. Now you probably have like a lot of filters and effects and things like that on there.
Mm-hmm,
and now what are some? I mean, do you have like a tool that can select like you know, because most apps it's just there's not a lot of editing going on. It's like you're doing it to the whole picture. With your app, can you select some areas like you do in Photoshop?
So in terms of filters are applied to the entire picture, but specific effects, for example, like we have on Pixpay Pro, we have this thing called Lighting Brush, which is a tool that a lot of the professionals use to give brightness to special areas of the photo.
Oh.
And for things like that, like obviously, we can apply it to certain areas of the picture,
right.
And you can just do that by just a touch on your mobile.
Oh, that's cool. So if I'm like eating and I have like food all over my face and I don't realize it and I take a great photo with my friends and I'm like, darn, I have food on my face, I can like kind of like erase it and Photoshop it out?
So in terms of erasing it, that might be a little bit more difficult with just a portion of it, but we do have a filter that will
probably
that
soften
will kind of
everything.
Those portions and like not make it too significant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, how long have you been involved with this, Jen?
So I've been involved not too long actually, compared to the company's life. So the company itself has been around for 4 years.
Uh huh.
But I've been involved with the company approximately like 8 months.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So it was developed in Korea, and mm-hmm. and you're obviously marketing it to the entire world, but you're here mm-hmm. in the States.
Right.
So is this only available for the iPhone, or are you going to have an Android version?
Oh, well, we have Android and iPhone for all of our apps. So
oh,
our
awesome.
Apps, cool.
Stay Pro. All the beauty booths, all of them have Android and iPhone.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Where can people find out more about PixPlay Pro and your other apps?
Can you repeat that?
Yes. Where can people find out more about your apps? Like
how can people find
yeah,
out
like
about
the, yeah, like the what is your website?
Oh, yeah, our website is giftjellybus.com.
Jellybus.com. Mm-hmm. And so you have the PixPlay Pro, and you also have other apps on there that has to do with photos.
Right.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Sounds very interesting. Well, we'll have to check it out. And if somebody wants to find the app right on the App Store or Google mm-hmm. Play, you just search mm-hmm. for PixPlay Pro. And mm-hmm. so what does the Pro have that the do you have like a free version too?
Yes, we do have free version for more general user base to use.
Uh-huh.
But how it differentiates is that some of the professional features are locked on the free version.
Right.
And also it has ads on it too.
Right, I see. Okay, so it has ads. Is there one or two things that you can tell us about the Pro that you can't get with the basic one?
So we have a variety of filters. So we have more than 200 filters on PixPlay Pro.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And with the free version, you can see the filters, but you can't save it.
Oh, I see. Okay, you can see the filters, but you can't save it.
Yeah, so there are certain portions of the filter offerings that are available to the free versions, but there are special filters on just... but you can only use for the Pro version.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, apps are not expensive, you know. I would always go with the full version so you can get all the features and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about what you're getting from an app, you know, paying a couple bucks is not a big deal, you know.
Right. Yeah. So it's just that a lot of people are not just used to spending money too much on mobile.
I know.
That's the biggest barrier right now.
So that's something that you guys are having to really confront. You know, mm-hmm. is like...
Yeah, so also one of the ways that we are approaching that with another one of our mega-hit app, Maldives, is to have just one version of free Maldives, so which includes like all the general basic features. But if you want to add on to that, you can purchase the premium version of it like within the free app. So there's no distinction between free app and a pro... like. The Pro app.
I see.
It's just that you can just easily purchase like additional features within your free app.
I see. Okay. Well, sounds very innovative. Jen Kim from Jellybus, and the app is PixPlay Pro, and mm-hmm. So it's jellybus.com where we can find out more about all your apps.
Jellybus.
Yeah.
Right.
I know. Like it's that. A cool name. So it is a Korean company, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay, well, sounds great. Jen, thank you so much. It sounds exciting. I'm definitely going to check it out and see because I like photo editing stuff. And, and you know, I mean, I've tried a few, but I see every app has got its own little things that make it unique, you know. So, okay, well, thank you so much and all the best with the product.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye, Jen.
Bye.
Yeah, it was hard to understand, man. She was probably in a speakerphone, and I didn't want to tell her to get off it.
Yeah.
But it was hard to understand because of the connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at any rate, I'd love to, you know, I mean, they're saying it's a lot easier to make apps now.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't know. I mean, you've got to be pretty technical. I mean, you know, look at me. I'm a geek, And I don't think I could do one. Or maybe I probably could if I really spend the time and to learn the, mm-hmm. the programming and stuff.
Yeah.
But who's got the patience for that? You know.
Yeah. No. I'm pretty much like.
Yeah, I know.
Clueless when it comes to a lot of that. I mean, my boyfriend's actually making an app.
Really.
But it's this is something that this is a big one. He's had this in the works for quite some time, and he's trying to show me what he's doing, and I'm like, I don't understand any of this. My job will be to make it pretty.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, you could do all this, all the technical, he's a math guy.
Mm.
So, a numbers guy. So he can, he adds up all this and that. And I'm like, okay, this is all way over my head. Even in simple terms, he actually has where it shows the iPhone, and then you click on this and then this happens. Mm. I'm like, just tell me when it's time to make it pretty. You do all that. I'll make it pretty.
Yeah
it's
funny.
It's it's so easy. I never realized how easy it was to develop an app. And
yeah.
I'm like, maybe for you. Not easy for me. But, yeah.
Yeah. So going back to the pleasure chest. So you definitely... with your wholesomeness, you did not see any of the toys there.
It was surprisingly, even my boyfriend was the one that come on, chop chop, we're crunched on time. You think that he would be more kid in a candy store status, but he knows how long it takes me to get ready.
Right.
So it was come on, let's go, try it on. No, not that one. Next one. Okay, that one's good. All right, let's get it. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay, so you found the masks, and how was the party?
Oh my gosh, it was pretty cool. It was actually in Culver City, I left my mask on all night. That's one thing that makes a really, really big difference between a good quality mask and versus the other one, because I lost the other one from the other masquerade. It was I don't know, $8 or something. It was a little cheapo plastic one.
Right.
And I literally had it on my face for about 5 minutes. And I took it off because it was driving me nuts.
Really?
Where this one from the pleasure chest, I wore it all night. Even after we came home and there was an after party and everything, everyone's like, do you do realize you still have your mask on, right? And I'm like, oh,
well,
no, I didn't even, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Because it was so, the quality of it was just so well made, and it was just so comfortable. It was, it was awesome.
What?
So I'm like, I guess there is a difference between, a good quality mask and, the crappy ones.
Yeah.
You know, most of the people just, after a few minutes took their mask off, but I left mine on, all night.
Really?
So, it was awesome.
Wow.
So it was red,
cool.
And I wore a red dress. I don't know how I got so lucky with that.
Really?
I come home, okay, great. I just bought this awesome red mask. I want to be different and unique. And I'm like, what am I going to wear?
Yeah.
And I just happened to find this red dress. I'm like, it's not going to be the same red, though. But I'm like, actually, it is. Okay, I'm going all out. This works.
Really?
Yeah.
So you bought the red dress.
So I actually had the red dress.
I
bought it, last year. It was, kind of the end of the season, so it was, on sale. So I knew I wouldn't be wearing the red dress until, this winter.
Right.
Because it was starting to be, nice out and, springtime or whatever.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to wear this. But, it's so cute. It's so cheap. I'll just buy it and wear it next season.
Right.
And sure enough, I found it in my, because I have, a suitcase full of, all my winter clothes.
Right.
And it's still been so nice out. I haven't converted to, my winter closet yet. And
right.
I still got my, my summer closet up and running. So I'm like, I gotta try to start sorting through some stuff. And I just opened the suitcase. It was the first thing up that just popped up. I'm like, oh my gosh. So the tag on and everything. I'm like, perfect.
Well, it sounds good. So it turned out well.
Yes.
And you enjoyed
it.
How many people were there?
There were a lot of people. The venue was kind of a cool venue, but it was a big almost like a just large warehouse part of it, and then the other half of it was some kind of little secret art gallery that they weren't letting anybody back there. But my friend Joy and I were just talking to the security guard a little bit, he's no, nobody can really come back here, but blah blah blah. And then we just kind of told some random story, and then he looked and he's all right, you two go on, but hurry up, make sure you come right back out here. We're like, okay. So we, you know, checked out some of the, you know, cool, like, art and glass things, and it was, yeah, it was pretty neat. And then we came right back out, and we're like, ooh, we feel so special. But yeah, it was cool. And they had, like, a, you know, this chick that was singing live, and she was pretty good, and yeah.
Which reminds me, when I was in Paradise, we went out to eat. And, you know, it's like a hillbilly type of place, you know. I mean, the thing is, you don't really see beautiful people like you do here, you know.
Yeah.
So, and since there's so few places to go, the young people actually hang out where the old people do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a karaoke night there at the restaurant. And I'm going, oh, my God. You know, so they're like, my friends are like, yeah, go up and sing. I'm like, listen to this music. There's no way. I mean, my music is going to be totally different. And I'm not singing in front of all these rednecks. So that was funny, you know. But and I'm thinking, I could never live like this, you know. I mean,
even if you got, like, drunk enough, no? That wouldn't be enough.
Oh, no, I was talking in general. Like, I couldn't live in a place like that, you know.
No. I mean, with the karaoke.
Yeah, I understand. No, okay. I don't think I would have done it.
No.
Maybe if I was drunk and
I
didn't
care. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But the songs they were singing, I'm like, I can't even sit here and listen to this, you know?
Yeah. No, I couldn't do it either. I couldn't live in a place like that. I mean, it's nice to, you know, get away for a minute and be like, oh, wow, you know, I'm in Bufu. And it's just like a whole nother way of living. And it's cute. But that's the thing. It's cute only for so long. And then you're like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm bored. Take me back to Los Angeles. But it's interesting that it's still, like, it's hard to picture a place like that being in the same, you know, the same state.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we think of, you know, LA, and it's just so busy, but it's like, you know, you just travel a little bit farther out from LA, and it's like completely different.
It is, you know, I mean, and it was, and the drive was pretty nice, you know, it was pretty, and that was it, you know, so,
even San Diego, I feel like is super different.
Yeah, it is different.
Los Angeles.
Right.
It's not that far away.
Every city is different from Los
Angeles. Well, yeah, that's true. I know. We're like our own little crazy bubble.
Yeah, the glitzy town.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're out of time here. Nice to be back. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a nice trip.
I did. I enjoyed
it
a great deal. Yes. But I got to tell you, the more I fly, the more I get scared of flying, you know? I don't know what it is. I used to love to fly. Now I'm scared, man. I have to close my eyes and sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.